I'm Marco Werman, and you're with The World. We're a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH here in Boston. Sometimes a humanitarian crisis is also a crisis of communication. That's what's happening at Cox's Bazar, Bangladesh, where hundreds of thousands of Rohingya refugees are having a tough time talking with aid workers. Even with the assistance of translators, it's hard to sort out the array of East Asian languages and dialects spoken in the refugee camps.
Language has been a very critical barrier in this crisis.
That's sociolinguist A.K. Rahim. He works in the camps in Cox's Bazar with the humanitarian group Translators Without Borders. The group is helping to clear up the miscommunication with a new app developed with input from Rohingya women refugees.
Their mother tongue is not written, and it's obviously not standardized. So when you have an app like this, where you capture information for the first time, they're seeing this as like a huge step forward, because they can finally look up words, and it's been welcomed pretty warmly.
One reason this sort of thing is so important is because women living in the camps don't share a vocabulary for discussing their bodies and issues like sexual exploitation. What have been the kind of problems they encountered describing harassment?
The men and the women, they developed almost distinct vocabulary sets, different words for even the same thing, especially when it comes to very sensitive topics like sex and gender and sexual harassment, etc. And many women in the camps, when they first came, when they were trying to tell the stories of them being raped or harassed by the Burmese military, they were using these euphemisms. They weren't directly saying, oh, we've been raped, we've been assaulted. They were saying, oh, we've been stained, we've been, you know, the word is dog. Dog actually comes from a Persian word, to be stained. And many people couldn't understand it. They were like, what do you mean by stained? But you have to understand contextually, they would not directly say that they were raped. They're going to say that their reputation or their character has been stained.
And I would guess without a way to describe what actually happened in a particular instance, like rape, it makes it especially difficult to prosecute and help the victim, right?
Absolutely. And in a culture that doesn't necessarily have a neutral term for sex and sexual, it becomes very difficult to explain all these very nuanced terminology that we use in the West. It becomes very difficult to provide services if you don't even know the very basic word sex or sexual, because it's seen as, first of all, a very negative thing, the whole concept of sex. So when you also kind of couple that with the trauma that they've experienced, it becomes very tricky.
When it comes to domestic issues like family planning, is there a word for birth control or contraception?
That word is dipu, and dipu comes from dipo provera, which is a injection or a shot that women are given every 3 months.
Right.
And that word became the term for contraception, but it comes from a drug name. And you find like instances of that with many other words.
Now, I gather you kind of workshop the creation of this glossary app by actually sitting down with refugee women in the camps. Tell us what that was like. Any awkward moments?
When I first went there, they were shocked that a man would be asking these questions. But then they realized that I'm not from the community. So they warmed up to me. They started talking to me very freely. But it was very interesting because I had a colleague who's local, and they were like, no, he can't be in the same room. So they were very uncomfortable talking to a man that they probably would see again in the camps or in the city. So they were very open to talking to me as an outsider. They had many things to say, and they wanted out there. Some of the women, of course, the younger they were, the more shy they were, but the older women were very free.
I know the confluence of languages in the camps has also been really hard when the refugees, for example, are sick and finding ways to describe their illnesses. Many came to aid workers saying, I gather, that their bodies were falling apart, but that's not exactly what they meant, right?
We, of course, use the word diarrhea very freely in the humanitarian world. But, you know, the word doesn't necessarily translate throughout these languages. And galamani, which means body falling apart, is how the Rohingya community calls diarrhea. The Chittagonian interpreters, when they went in the field, they kept hearing galamani from the Rohingyas. And there were many confused health workers out there.
These refugee camps are desperate places. But as you say, it's also a fascinating linguistic ecosystem. So it's almost like a new language is being created in the camps in real time.
Yeah, it's evolving very rapidly. They're absorbing words from English, of course, but also from Bangla, Chittagongian. And also there's the whole religious influence in the community. Being largely Muslim, they absorb a lot of words from Arabic, Farsi, Urdu. This is the crossroads of South and Southeast Asia. So if you look at this region, it's very mountainous, and kind of each mountain or hill has its own unique language. Here you have South Asian languages like Bangla and Chittagongian, and then you have East Asian languages like Rakhine and Burmese kind of blending in this border region.
How's your morale holding up working in Cox's Bazar? Because, as I said, it is a desperate place.
I think I'm in a very unique situation. When I go to do these focus group discussions, it's not that I'm just, you know, collecting data and collecting words. I'm collecting people's stories. I'm collecting, you know, every term has these nuances, and they're very personal nuances from the woman particularly. Rape, for me, it's just one word, but for them, it's a whole history. It's a whole history of trauma.
Sociolinguist A.K. Rahim works with Translators Without Borders in the Rohingya refugee camps in Cox's Bazar, Bangladesh. A.K., thank you very much. This is really fascinating.
Thank you so much for having me.